Hey, welcome back in the MVA cross-platform development with Visual Studio. For this new chapter, we are going to talk about the integration of Cordova in Visual Studio with Kirupa. So, you know myself, I continue to still here. And I'm really enjoyed to meet, to introduce Kirupa from the Visual Studio team. We thought it's better to add the creator of the code and the PM of the team for this talk. So Kirupa, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I'm happy to be here. Hi, everyone. My name is Kirupa, and I'm a program manager in Visual Studio. And my job is to really make all of your HTML development dreams come true, whether it's writing HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. My team builds the templates, the code editing features you use, and a whole lot of other things, including support for Windows Store, Windows Phone, as well as what I'm going to be talking about today, Apache Cordova.
Yeah, apparently you don't sleep a lot.
But no, I'm always sleeping.
Okay, module topics. We are going to talk about why with Visual Studio support, you build a Hello World application, I think.
Yeah, there'll be several demos, Hello World, and then we jump between slides and some more demos just to give you a casual overview of what exactly happens as you're building your applications. A little bit of code, a little bit of overview, and then a lot of just fun along the way as well.
And a bit of debugging, of course.
Yes.
What happened behind the scene? Oh, testing iOS app on your Mac, I think?
Correct. I'm running a parallel setup, and I will give you a quick demo of how to use Visual Studio to test your app on iOS.
Okay. And we cover the subject about plugging in the first chapter. So in Visual Studio, how we add plugging in the project and few additional resources.
Correct.
So let's go. Multi-device hybrid app extension.
Yeah, so many of you probably are very familiar with Visual Studio. You've probably used it for many of your projects in the past. And it's a very familiar place for many of us to go and build applications, whether it is writing code, creating new projects, or even testing and debugging your app across a variety of platforms. You know, we exist on all platforms from the web to things that happen on a native device to even applications running on the browser. So we're going to be taking that one step further with this talk, with the support for Apache Cordova, where you're basically using web technologies to basically package your applications to run on devices running on Android, iOS, and Windows Phone.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, what did it take to build a Cordova app?
Basically, you saw earlier from Eric's talk, you can use the command line, you can acquire dependencies, you can do all this stuff manually.
Yeah.
But if you're someone like me who is more interested in this writing markup, writing JavaScript, and less interested in the whole, how do I get things set up to make things work? You have to take care of all the dependencies to install. You need to install Node.js for acquiring packages. You need to install Google Chrome for some of the browser-based testing, some of the command line tools, and a whole host of things that I kind of list in the left column. And Eric, installation is only one part of it, right? Well, you install your components, great, but now you need to configure it to actually make work with your build environment.
Yeah.
So
your
command line targets, environment variables, and all these things are just, they're not complicated, but they're many small steps that add up to a lot of time. And when things don't work out properly, you're stuck trying to debug and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So to help with that, we basically have Visual Studio. So basically, imagine that you don't have to do all of this. Let's go to the next slide.
Yeah.
So, we lovingly call our little extension the multi-device hybrid apps for Visual Studio. And like I mentioned, we're looking for longer names, so please let us know towards the end. And so let's go to the next slide, Eric.
Yes.
Basically, imagine all those two kinds of stuff that I showed you. Ignore all of that. Basically, go to the website. You can Google or Bing for the name and you will find it. Download it, one simple install. And then after that, if you go to the next slide, you'll see that we take care of all the stuff for you. You can acquire all the third-party dependencies. We configure things to allow you to build for Android, iOS, and for all the Windows platforms. And beyond that, you get all the familiar functionality you've always had with Visual Studio, which is being able to run your app, debug your app. And I'm going to give you some demos that cover some of these things in a little more detail. And of course, also, because we are targeting devices, I will briefly talk about how to add native device capabilities. That's where the plugin story will come in.
Yeah. I confirm the setup story. It's very smooth process. I tried it several times, and it's much, much easier than the command line things. Even the Cordova, it's well connected with the node, and you can use NPM to install Cordova and this kind of stuff. But definitely a setup in the Visual Studio, it's very, very
convenient. Definitely the value we add is that as you're building, you know, as you're installing all the components, for building a simple Hello World app, you don't need everything you need. But as part of testing your application or you want to deploy it, that's where you want to, you know, ratchet up all the components you want to install. And we just take care of it all up front, so that way you're not worrying about, oh, I need to basically install this extra additional component to be able to solve this particular part of my workflow. Yeah, yeah. We just simplify these things for you pretty easily.
Sounds very good. So, a first demo to
Let's start with the first demo. I'm actually going to start from the very beginning. So you should see my desktop right now, nothing going on. I'm going to launch Visual Studio. Our extension works on Visual Studio 2013, running on update 3, and it is currently a CTP version 2.0. So I just launched Visual Studio, and right now you see the classic Visual Studio start screen where you have some information going on here and some of the projects that I've created on the left. So what I'm going to do, though, is going to create a new project. When I click on New Project, you get what's known as a New Project dialog. This is the area where you can basically see all the various projects and languages that Visual Studio supports for you to build applications on. I have Visual Basic, C#, C++, all of that. But because the apps we're building are going to be JavaScript-based, I have the JavaScript node expanded already, and I have multi-device hybrid app as a category selected. And so we give you one template out of the box. It is a blank project that, as you'll see shortly, gives you everything you need to start with an application that has all the components you need for a Cordova app. So I'm going to just go ahead and rename this as, let's just call this My Demo App. And add the number 2 as well for good measure. And I'm going to hit OK. And Visual Studio will take a few seconds to create the project. And let me go and close the start page that comes up. So first of all, when you see what's created is a slight variation of what you saw with Eric's command line demo where he added a platform for building a Windows app. What we've done is you have the exact same format. You have the folders, CSS, images, you have the scripts folder, and then some basic content. And we also give you two more folders that many Apache Cordova projects have, which is the merges and resources folder. The resources folder, shortcutted as res, is where you put all of your, you know, your specific device assets, like your splash screen, your icons,
yeah,
and all of that.
And, yeah.
And then if you have any certificates for building or signing, you would put that here as well. And the next folder is also your merges folder. The thing to note is that Apache Cordova, unlike other solutions you might have had for building multi-device applications, is really a build once and deploy everywhere kind of a solution. You have one code base that you end up deploying to multiple devices, but there will be times where you want to have slightly different UI or different content that gets served as part of building your application. Yep. And that's where the merges folder really comes in. If I want to have some special files that override, like let's say index.html, I would just put index.html right here in the middle of the, you know, the Android location and be able to have a custom experience for Android.
It's in fact the same pattern that Universal App. You have a main directory with all the source code you use for 90% of the application.
Correct.
And the specific to the platform in different folder, like here for Windows Phone or Windows folders.
Correct, exactly. I mean, the general model of having to, I mean, people generally don't want to write code multiple times, especially if it is entirely common.
Yep.
So both Universal apps from our side as well as the Apache Cordova apps, there's a lot of convergence going on in how to make these just more, you know, more productive as you're building these applications without duplicating things unnecessarily.
That's the aim.
Yeah, not duplicating code is always a good thing, right?
Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
So that's a basic overview of project structure. And if I just open up index.html, you know, it really is just basic HTML that you'd normally see in a web application. You know, David talked a little bit about some of the web app work that they're doing. And it's just basically HTML. And you know, as you'll see shortly, there's some slight twists and turns that make this HTML work on a device. But for now, though, let's just look at it in terms of I have an HTML document, I have standard HTML tags, has some script references, and that's pretty much it. You know, it's just basically, if you know, if you're familiar with web technologies, you'll be very familiar with building apps in Apache Cordova.
Yeah, it's exactly the same structure that a classical project Cordova.
Yep. So, no, before we go any further, let's see what this application looks like. So you're going to spend a lot of time writing code and writing your CSS and HTML and making sure things work fine. The way you make sure things work fine is by testing your application. And so to help with that, you have the debug toolbar, which is the set of icons I'm currently hovering over on the top. Yeah. This is the place where you get to choose the platform you're interested in testing for. And then once you've chosen the platform, be able to select the actual debug target, whether it is a browser, whether it's an actual device or an emulator. So by default, we have Android selected. You can choose between Android, iOS, and multiple flavors of Windows configurations that you might be interested in.
We see exactly at this point the cross-platform effect of the MDD, because it's the first time you can see Android, iOS, Windows Phone in the same combo list in Visual Studio. It's very important.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to have epic background music right now just to highlight how awesome this is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So I have Android selected. And if I select a dropdown on what I want to preview, you can see some of the Android deploy targets appearing. We have device, we have Android emulator, and your emulator can be either the stock Google SDK one, or you can also have Genymotion or any third-party emulator you want. We work beautifully with all of them. And then I'm going to spend some time with what's known as Ripple. And Ripple. Are you familiar with Ripple, Eric?
Yeah. I'm so familiar with Ripple because I really love the error message when my application don't start, and the Ripple message at this time, it's really, really funny.
Yes. And I'll show you in a second what it looks like. It's basically a way of testing your application in the browser itself. So let me go ahead and select Nexus Galaxy, and I'm going to go ahead and hit play. And what's happening under the covers is the equivalent of what would happen if you used the command line tools earlier. All we're doing in VS is just providing some UI layer on top of it. So I hit F5, or hit the play button, and now you see Chrome has launched, and inside the Chrome browser, I see a version of my app surrounded by a device Chrome. And this is actually very convenient because, especially for Android and iOS devices, the rendering engine used is actually based on WebKit, and Chrome is heavily based on WebKit as well. So what you're seeing is a pretty good approximation of what you will see if you were to test on a device. Obviously, there are many quirks, basically because you are in a browser trying to emulate device capabilities. But for early stage development, especially for testing out what I have right now, it's actually very, very functional. And Ripple is not just a preview surface where you can just see what your application looks like right now. You actually have the ability to do some device-specific configurations. Like right now, it's in portrait mode. I can switch to orientation. And if I had any media queries, for example, that needed to activate when the app is in landscape mode, it'll go active right now. And you can actually see all of that coming alive. And you can make other changes as well that require let's say I have an accelerometer, a code that deals with having to move
play
things
with
around.
The sensors.
Yep. Yeah. I have a demo that comes on later where I'll actually show off some of the functionality right here. But then device and network settings, geolocation, you have a lot of ways of basically being able to simulate how your application will work on a device without actually having to deal with the performance issues of using an emulator or some of the inconveniences of actually having to tether a device and having it work. So it's actually pretty sweet in that format. So let's just make sure that everything works. And by default, the blank template says, hello, your application is ready. Let's just make it hello world, just to be consistent with tradition. Let me hit play again. Very quickly, we can see that hello world now appears once the page is loaded. And it all just works fine. So this is the happy path. This is the path where I'm giving a simple demo, things work fine, and everything is great. But a lot of times, though, one of the big things that really we're providing with Visual Studio is that it's always had great debugging features. Yes. And it would be great if we could actually integrate the debugging features as part of building your Apache Cordova applications. And so let me quickly segue into that part of the demo where I just say, I'm going to add some more functionality to it. And it'll be deliberately broken at first. So Eric, I'll ask you some questions to help me figure out what is broken. So that should be exciting. And then we'll actually use some of the debugging features to help us figure it out in a more constructive, more precise way.
Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to add a button.
Okay.
I'm going to call this button change color. And let me give this button an ID. Give the ID of change color as well. So let's just make sure this looks as you expect.
At this time, I think it's okay.
I'm pretty sure it's okay, but I also just want to have Ripple running in the background, so I have change color going on.
Okay.
And if I go back into Visual Studio, though, notice that what we're actually showing you is the DOM Explorer. If you're familiar with in-browser development tools, especially debugging tools either from Chrome or from IE's F12, you always have a mechanism for being able to inspect the visual look and feel of what your page looks like. Yeah. And so right now, I'm going to select the click tool and just go ahead and select the change color button, just to see what's going on. And when I click it, you can quickly see that my markup is highlighted, and any styles that I might have are actually shown right here. So what color should I go with, Eric?
Wow, a blue one?
Let's go with blue. Let's do Azure, just, given that we're Microsoft, let's do Azure. And if I were to go jump back into Visual Studio, the Chrome, you can very quickly see that the value specified here is being displayed and updated in real time in Ripple as well.
Yeah.
So you can make a lot of visual tweaks just by using the functionality you're probably already familiar with. If you have a browser-based workflow that you love and you're very familiar with, our goal is to really not have you learn or relearn all these things from scratch, but actually just take advantage of what you already know. So that's part of that's something that I wanted to show off. So that's the only reason, Eric, why I hit F5 after making this minor change.
Okay.
So now let's go ahead and add some code that actually reacts to me clicking on the change color button. So I'm going to go ahead and go into index.js. So actually, before I go there, I think it's worth talking about what device ready actually means. If you're building applications for the web, there are two events a big problem is figuring out when exactly your code needs to run.
Yes.
And the two events you often listen for are the load event, which fires after your DOM and after all your images and external resources, after all of them have loaded, that event fires and then your code can execute from there. Another event that is my personal favorite is DOM content loaded. You listen for that event after your DOM is loaded, but just before everything else has actually loaded as well. So if you want to have code that runs that manipulates a DOM, that's a great time to basically hook into it. Because we're building apps that run on a device, having load or DOM content loaded isn't always a guarantee that your page is ready to react. You might need extra time for getting your keyboard working, or like external input from plugins like your camera or your accelerometer. They might take extra time. So we have a custom event called device ready that is in many ways the equivalent of load, but it is optimized for device-specific scenarios.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very useful. You will see device-ready event in many, many Cordova projects.
Absolutely.
That's a root event.
I think it's the general guidance is, whatever you do, make sure you do whatever your important things after a device-ready event has been fired. So, I'm sure...
No, it's okay. We have two of our events here, pause and resume.
Yep, I'm going to leave these as is. I have no need to modify them.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, though, is let me quickly go ahead and I could just write code manually, but I'm just going to copy and paste some code just to save some time. And let's go ahead and paste this here. All right, so all I've really done is I've added a variable called change color button, and I'm using the query selector function on document to get access to the element whose ID is change color.
Yep.
So nothing fancy going on here. And just like before, I'm adding an event listener for the click button, for the click event. And so when that button is clicked, the set random color event handler will essentially get called. And this event is basically calling, getting a hook into the body element, and it's sending the inline background color to a particular value. But just to make sure that, everything still works fine, let's go with yellow. Let's just make sure that, code up until this point works fine. So I'm going to go ahead and...
let's try it.
I have no doubt that it will work, but you never know, right?
Oh, yes.
You change color? Yeah. It works
Perfect.
Fine. So our code up until this point is
okay.
Fine. So what I really want to do, though, is not have a hard-coded color value. What I really want to show is a random color that changes the color of the background every time I click it. So for that, I have the getRandomColor function. And this function is pretty simple. All it does is it creates a random RGB color value, puts it into the right format, and then just returns it in the way that your application would expect it.
Okay.
So all I'm going to do is just replace this with getRandom color. Okay.
Call to the function, okay.
And that's all I'm going to do. So let's go ahead and hit play now. So, I'm going to click change color. And oh my gosh, it is not working, Eric.
There is a bug in your function.
There is a bug. Always when I'm demoing, stuff never just works, right?
Okay.
All right. So now let's try to figure out how to fix it. So there are many ways you can do this. You can write console.log, you know, because it is a web. You can also write alert statements. You know, there's no wrong way to diagnose and debug your code. You know, as long as it works for you.
Personally, I love the breakpoint approach.
Absolutely, the breakpoints, you can't beat that. So let me actually just set a breakpoint just right here, just to figure out what value is actually being returned by getRandomColor. So I'm gonna set a breakpoint, and I hit F5. And now let's see what's going on. The application loads fine. I'm gonna click on the button, and yes, the breakpoint gets hit. So now, you know, body element, all this stuff is fine. GetRandomColor is returning the function value. You know, let's figure out what GetRandomColor actually returns. Let me go back to the, let's go to the immediate window, and let me just type in GetRandomColor. And it returns a hex value, 7CE9AD. So that seems to be fine.
Yeah.
But can you tell me what is actually wrong with this, though? There's actually something subtle that's wrong with the value that is being returned.
The format of the value, perhaps?
Correct. The format of the value. It's almost as if we rehearsed this beforehand, Eric.
No.
No, this is actually true. This is completely live. We did not rehearse this beforehand, guys.
I just discovered the code at the same time as you, guys.
the format is actually wrong. It is a hex. It is a value. It is hexadecimal, but there needs to be a pound sign in the front that needs to be recognized by your CSS. So the way to fix that is I'm going to go to my code, and where it says var hex color, where I'm returning the values, I'm just going to do some simple string concatenation and just do this. And hopefully with this, it'll all work fine. I'm actually not even going to set a breakpoint because I have such great faith that Eric's debugging ability have not led me astray. So I'm going to hit the button, change color.
Okay.
And color changes, Eric. Okay. This is beautiful. This is all day, guys. You know, we have about 23 minutes. I'm going to click this all day. All right. So that's a very quick overview of using Ripple for making some simple changes to your application and then diagnosing and fixing issues by using some of the debugging stuff.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to our slides for a second.
Yeah.
And
One question for you.
Yeah.
What happened behind the scenes? What
happened behind the scenes? You know, we talk a lot about Cordova. We talk a lot about, you know, it just works on devices. But I think it's definitely helpful to take a step back and just look at how does your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript end up working in a device context? Like, what exactly makes it, you know, happen? So I created a few slides that help with this. So behind the scenes, you know, you saw a little bit about the web view control that David was talking about.
Yes.
And what happens in a device is no different. You basically have a native application that has some functionality for displaying some HTML content. For iOS and Android, it is a WebView container. And for Windows web applications, the HTML apps you run for Windows Store and Windows Phone, you have what's known as WWA host.
Yeah.
And all they do is they take your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, give you some additional functionality, and have the ability to connect to the device capabilities despite using just JavaScript that runs in a security context that is optimized for the web app. And this is a very high-level diagram that talks about how an application code, and the one part that sticks out of your application and actually goes into your device is the plugin that, you know, that Eric talked about a little earlier, and we'll talk about a little more. That's basically the bridge between what you're writing and device capabilities your application requires. Because one thing you guys might not realize is that, you know, if I'm running on a desktop, and I'm using the webcam, for example, right? I can just get user media. Everything works just fine. When I'm viewing that exact same application on a mobile browser, not a mobile app, but a mobile browser, the security settings on a browser prevent some of this functionality from working as you'd expect. So you actually have to have this plugin mechanism and the Cordova syntax for it to bypass and to work with the security model that all these devices.
Exactly. After the meal break, we will have a session focus on the difference between WebView and the WWA host in Windows.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
So I will not steal the thunder from that session anymore then.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next slide.
Okay. Let's continue.
Yep. So we talked about, in a very high level, what exactly is happening.
Yep.
But we talked about a very low level on what's happening.
Yeah,
Let's take a you know, a bird's eye view of what's going to happen. So when you're building an application for Cordova, there are two components that have pretty much been the mainstay, the dynamic duo of what Visual Studio has always been about. That is Visual Studio and MS Build. You know, MS Build, you probably, you know, use it for building your applications from Visual Basic to C# to C++. It is a very, you know, flexible component that is used for all sorts of project management systems, from build project management systems. And what we're adding on top of it is we're saying we're going to extend MS Build by having some of its output going to the yellow box known as BSMDA. That is the extension that you basically install.
Okay.
And that then massages the content a little bit and pass it on to Cordova. For Windows and Android, it goes straight to Cordova, which then does its work to provide the final packages, the APK for Android or the APEX files for Windows and the equivalent packages for iOS, the .app packages.
Okay.
And for iOS, though, we have one extra step. On the slide, if you go to the right-hand side of it, you'll see that the VSMDA actually has another component, and these components run entirely on the OS X side of things.
That means I can develop for my macOS from Visual Studio without touching my Macintosh.
So there will be some level of touching you will still have to do, though, Eric. And I'm going to demo that in a little bit.
Sure.
You have to install some components, and you also have to run a command line tool to actually have it running.
Yeah.
So before I get
there. An agent.
Exactly.
But the principle is the fact is I stay in Visual Studio and deploy on my Mac, on my iPad or something like that without touching its code, right?
That is exactly correct. And let's say you have an environment where someone has already configured a build machine running on a Mac, for example.
Yeah.
In that case, you don't have to do anything. You just basically hit F5 and just choose an iOS debug target, just like I chose a Ripple target, and you're golden.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So let's go to the next slide. Just, there's one of the best things about what we released is our documentation. We have excellent documentation. So we go into great detail on how to set up your machine for building on a Mac.
Okay.
But just at a very high level, there's two things you need to do to build on the iOS. I'm going to demo this, which is why I'm giving you a quick overview of what to do.
Yeah.
You need to install the VSMDA remote agent. It's a node package, pretty simple, run that, it just works. And then the next step is to basically run the agent so that it's always listening for communication from Visual Studio, in this case, to process a build.
Okay, and they are going to build in a certain directory for that. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to demo this now. It's going to be exciting, So all right. So I'm back in my machine. So this is a browser. This is basically Ripple showing an Android app. And pay attention to what the change color button looks like. Sharp corners and edges. And there's a reason why I'm calling this out, because you'll see there's a difference in how it renders on iOS.
Okay. So let's see that.
Yeah, because Ripple is great. But if you want to ratchet up the fidelity where you're testing, emulator is a great mechanism, and so is ultimately, of course, testing on a device. And for iOS especially, I'm going to talk a little bit about how some of the things that look right on Windows might not look right when tested on iOS.
Okay.
So this is a great way to look into that. So I'm just going to first select an iOS platform. And once I've done that, we also give you the option for device, and Ripple makes an appearance here as well. So if I didn't want to actually do any kind of configuration, Ripple does an okay job approximating what's happening.
Okay.
It's not perfect, as you will see in a second, but I'm simulating an iPhone 5 using Ripple, and the functionality still works. If I had any code that used the WebKit prefix, for example, Ripple will respect that, and it will show it all just fine.
It's good.
Let's go to the part that everyone is really excited for, building on the iOS. So I'm gonna test on, let's say, iPhone simulator. So I haven't done any configuration yet, Eric. I'm just basically, very naively selecting iPhone, and I'm gonna hit play. And this is not gonna work, and you'll see why. Okay, this is taking its time right now, but it's not going to work. Basically, what you need to do, there are two things you need to do.
Yeah,
let's go to Tools Options.
Yeah.
And by default, we have this actually disabled. So I'm going to go to Multi-Device Hybrid Apps, find the remote agent configuration. So I've already set this up earlier. By default, set to false. You need to set this to true, and then pass in the machine that is going to be listening for these events. So, as we were doing this, it appropriately failed, saying that error occurred uplink to the build server, timeout, because that build server isn't actually running. So let's go ahead and get this started. So I'm going to go back. I'm running Parallels right now.
Oh.
So I'm going to go back into the OS X side of things, and let me just bring up my terminal. What I'm going to do is just start my VSMDA remote. This is the same command you saw earlier, and I'm putting the builds into a user's group of builds directory.
Okay.
And I'm going to hit Enter.
Okay, so the agent is listening for Visual Studio messages?
Exactly. It's basically now just running in the background, just pulling and seeing what any updates there are. And if you remember from the, if I go back into Visual Studio, one of the options we need to specify is the IP address and the port. The port is 3000. You can see from the command line window itself. Okay. The host address is what I need to figure out next.
So
for that, I'm actually going to open up another terminal window. And there are many ways of doing it. This is the way I tend to use it. I use ifconfig, and I wrote a small script that basically, you know, ifconfig by itself is actually, you know, let me show you what ifconfig does, just in case you are curious. Let me remove all of this. I hope it remembered my earlier settings. Ifconfig is, it's similar to like ipconfig in Windows. It gives you a lot of information about what you're currently doing. But let me just filter all this out and only give me the IP address I care about.
Okay.
So this is the one, 10.82.208.8. So I don't believe copy is currently enabled. So I'm going to quickly just note this down as somewhere. Let me go to one of the desktops here. And I'm just launching Notepad for those of you who can't see what I'm doing on this, you know, oversized novelty screen.
Okay.
10.82.208.8. All right. So now I need to make sure in Visual Studio that I enter that exact same value. Otherwise, my computer, VS had no idea how to connect to the build agent side of it. All right, 208.8. Okay. All right, so if everything works fine, I'm going to hit play. And it is currently, okay, uploading build request payload, attempt one. It's always scary when a number comes up. Attempt number two. And so behind the scenes, it's actually being sent to the OS X side of things.
Okay.
And now the build has succeeded. And you will see the iPhone simulator running. And now you get to see change color showing up here.
Yeah.
And if I click on the button, you'll see that
it's working.
It works just fine.
Yeah.
And the thing to note that, you know, before I emphasize, to pay attention to what the button looks like in Ripple. In Ripple, the button was basically square shaped.
Yes.
And it had no translucency or transparency that you kind of see on an iOS simulator. There are subtle differences like this that really only shine when you're testing closer to the platform you're building on. So as great as Ripple is, you know, the iOS simulator is just a little bit better for testing iOS apps. Just Android emulator is better for testing some Android emulator apps. Yeah. And then, of course, a device is one of the best ways of being able to test as well.
Yeah.
So we
pretty
know,
amazing. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can I debug step by step from Visual Studio to my macOS here?
You know, currently it is not supported, but it is high on our list. So I would say very soon you should
Perfect.
Be able to set a breakpoint, you know, step into your code and see all the iOS debugging functionality work just as it would for any other flavor that we actually support.
Okay. So right now I debug in Ripple.
Yep.
Test on my iPad or iPad simulator. Okay.
Correct. You know, you can, there are many other ways you can, you know, you can use some of the web tools that exist for iOS to connect to it. You can, you know, use the equivalent process monitor. There are many complicated ways, but no, we have a much easier way that's, you know, hopefully will be out in the near future.
Okay.
Great.
Some more demo, perhaps?
Let's do some more demo. Yeah, why not?
Cool.
Why not? I mean, everything's working fine so far.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we
had to crash something.
I don't know you, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, this can't be a demo that, you know, we're giving as, you know, as part of Visual Studio. So, all right. So, basically, one of the things we talked about is plugins. You know, we said plugins is really great, and we want to see what happens when, how to work on plugins. So, I'm going to go ahead and open a new project. I created a project already. I'm going to quickly give you a quick demo of what it looks like. And this project is a simple note-taking app. I know every you know, demo needs to have a good to-do application. So I'm just going to hit F5. And for this, let's go back to Ripple. Let's do an Android device again. They're just so much fun to preview. I'm just going to hit play. And this will give you an idea of what the application looks like. And right now, we're texting on a Nexus S device. And so basically, I had some pre-canned content that I was hoping wasn't going to show up here. Luckily, you know, it's all fine. And it's basically a note-taking app. I can type in, you know, finish this demo.
Okay.
For reals. And I'm going to hit enter. You'll see the item appearing here.
Okay.
And I can make changes. I can, you know, delete an item once I've done it. You know, test totally works, you know, so far. So I can delete it. We'll ignore that what I deleted was not the item that was actually removed. That's a minor demo bug. All right. But what I'm going to do, though, is I want to add a plugin. You know, right now, it's a simple app. It's deleting items as I'm adding things to it. Wouldn't it be great to actually delete items if I were to actually shake the device? Like, you know, a lot of apps have the functionality where if you shake the app, either a help screen comes up or you get the ability to feedback.
Yeah, you're right.
How about, you know, I'm so frustrated having no more tasks to do that I shake it and then, you know, it clears everything out. So let's go ahead and test that very easily.
Okay.
So in order to be able to do that, to be able to add some functionality for shaking the application, that requires access to device APIs. And those APIs are, by default, turned off in all these applications for security reasons.
Yeah, sure.
And as Eric mentioned earlier, the way you enable them is by using what's known as a Cordova plugin.
Yeah.
And these plugins can contain the, are basically a bridge between a JavaScript you write and the specific native functionality you expose. And there's a, you know, there's basically a fork for Android, for iOS, for Windows, Bada, BlackBerry, all the platforms that or that Apache Cordova supports. It is, you know, the plugins help mediate between making sure it works on the device itself.
So you add a tab about plugging here.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm doing is, you know, a lot of these are specified in the config.xml file. So you could edit the config.xml file manually. And this is basically the file that, you know, you might have seen David, you know, Eric show off. I can make these changes myself. Or, you know, why write code when I can do some of these things, especially like custom markup, when I can use an editor for this? So I double-click on config.html in Visual Studio, and you basically get our config, you know, config editor, config designer. Here I can specify settings like my display name, the start page, the package ID, things like that. Any security settings, you know, all these things are fine. Packaging. All these things are just, you know, specific
graphical way of
specifying often arcane, obtuse information. The thing I really want to talk about, though, is a plugins tab.
Oh.
Out of the box, we give you the ability to support all these various plugins. And us, for example, selecting the accelerometer, for example, isn't just a case of me checking a box and nothing happens. We actually acquire the plugin as part of build, and we do a lot of things behind the scenes to make it easier for you to basically just take advantage of the accelerometer, not have to worry about how to get them into your project. This goes back to one of the values that I think Visual Studio really provides.
Okay, so you have the core list of Cordova plugin, I think, here.
Yep.
And if I want more, I have to go by hand on the XML file, right?
Correct. Okay. So, you know, we're running short on time, so I'm going to go ahead and open a finished version of my project. It actually contains all the code that I need. So it's currently in a zip file, actually. And we already have a folder there. Let me open temp, paste this in, and let's go ahead and open this. Okay. When it says this may take a few minutes, it's usually not lying. So I'm hoping it doesn't take, not take a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and project is open. Let's test it in Ripple. And there's a reason why I'm testing in Ripple, actually. Let me actually take a look at what the accelerometer code looks like, just so you have an idea of, let me go back into
Visual Studio.
This is the wrong app. Let me go back into Visual Studio. Let me just open up init.js, where the code lives for being able to access accelerometer. It's right here, navigator.accelerometer.watchacceleration. And then the code basically just checks for simple acceleration where I'm checking the X, Y, and Z coordinates to make it work. And nice thing about Ripple is that one of the functionalities that I highlighted earlier is the ability to mimic a lot of device settings.
Yep.
And one of the things actually is the acceleration. Wow, that's a hard word. So you can see at the very bottom, there's a, I can click and drag the mouse to manipulate the device, great. But also a shake functionality, where if I click it, it basically moves the screen back and forth. Let me just zoom out a bit and see if you can see more of the screen. Perfect. I'm going to hit shake, and once I do that, you'll see the entire application shaking. And as a result, though, the item still went out of the screen.
Okay.
So Ripple is fantastic at being able to do that. And I also, for those of you who are watching, I actually have a physical screen, a device as well. And imagine if I were to plug this in and hit F5 and deploy the device, you'll see the exact note app right here. And if I were to shake it wildly, you'd see the items delete themselves as well. So, just imagine how awesome it would be if it works. And I'll just pause as you get to just, gaze in amazement at this working.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, let's go ahead and start going to the wrap-up slides onto the resources and let's see what else is there.
Some additional resources here. Of course, you can download the extension in hackims.cordova. Yep.
And one of the things we've done is that even if you're using Visual Studio to set up your machine, it takes time. Sometimes it takes about 20 minutes, sometimes it takes about an hour or 2 hours, depending on your connection. And you also, because what we're building is still pre-release software, it still has some bugs in it, we're working through them, you may not want to have your main development machine, take up pre-release content. Yeah. So to help you evaluate them, we actually created both Azure VMs that you can connect to and run directly without having to have anything configured on your machine. And we also have like a massive, you know, like VHD you can download from the Microsoft Download Center that gives you everything you need, both Windows and Visual Studio evaluation versions of both, that give you everything out of the box to build a Cordova app.
Yeah, the experience with the VM, the live VM, it's pretty amazing. We used that last week during the PhoneGap Day.
Correct.
We organized a workshop and we have several guys connected with a teeny connection, but everyone can work. It's pretty
exactly.
Cool.
I mean, the best part of
thanks
the VM,
for that.
Yeah,
and for the team for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the best part of the VMs is that oftentimes you might need to have Hyper-V enabled, Hyper-V disabled. You know, depending on which emulators you want to try out, your computer might not have, like, let's say SLAT for some of the CPU-based, you know, emulators that might be disabled. So you kind of don't have to worry too much about your hardware configuration. You can use a high-powered device or a very low-powered device and still be, you know, very productive in, you know, building these apps for real or for just evaluating things.
Seeing
how it works. And then the last couple of things are, you know, we do want to hear feedback from people. And if you do run into some issues, you know, we posted, like, you know, our team is very active on Stack Overflow. We monitor all of the comments and we try to respond to you very quickly. So just post on Stack Overflow, use the hashtag multi-device hybrid apps, and we will get to us. And, you know, tweet to us, VS Cordova Tools. You can email the product team directly at vscordovatools@microsoft.com. Or if you want to, you know, email me, you know, just feel free to email me as well, kirupa@microsoft.com.
Okay. Very nice. Thank you a lot, Kirupa, about this presentation. I think we are really enjoyed the integration in Visual Studio. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well, Eric.
Sure. So now we are going to have a meal pause, a break, a long break, about 1 hour. See you later soon. Bye.